Well, in Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17, Paul continues his description of the new man, the man that God has created through the new birth, by stressing what should be the priority, the passion of the new man. And this evening, I want us to identify that priority and then list what results when God's priority is our priority. You always want to be in step with the Lord. You always want to be where He is, to follow what He would desire for us, His children. Well, let's read the text, Colossians 3, beginning with verse 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." The priority of the new man must be, as we see in verse 16, the word of Christ. And we see this truth, as I just said, where Paul says in verse 16, where he admonishes us to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And what is the word of Christ? The word of God. It's the Bible. It's the Holy Scriptures we are privileged to hold in our hands. It is what God has inspired. It is his message to us. It is his book of life to us, how we are to live this life. And this divine word is to dwell. It is to dwell in us. And the Greek word used here means to live in, to be at home in, to take up residency in. And it is to do so richly and abundantly. The word of God should just permeate every aspect of our lives. God's word should control every nook and cranny of our being. God's word needs to govern our thoughts, our words, our deeds, which then mean we really are hearing the word. We are hiding it in our hearts. We really are properly handling it. And we really are then holding fast to the word of God. And what do I mean when I say hold fast to the word of God? What are we commanded to be? Doers of the word and not hearers only. And so we are to let the word of Christ, the word of God, dwell in us richly. And that is really identical to being filled with the Spirit. One author writes, "The word in the heart and mind is the handle by which the Spirit turns the will." And so again, having the word dwelling richly in us, being controlled by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God takes the word of God and brings conviction, brings that work of grace, that transformation to our hearts. We think differently. We act differently. We have different priorities. We live for eternity. We don't live for this life. When we so live that way, then certain results come to pass. And that's what we want to focus on now, those blessings. Now, let me ask you this. How can we practically see or experience the Word of God dwelling in us richly? We obey what we hear. How about reading the Bible every day? When I was a teenager, I thought, well, I can read the New Testament through in a year, and I was able to do that. And the next year, I thought, well, I think I can read the Bible through in a year, and by God's grace, I did that. But you read the Word. What else do you do? In other words, you need to be in the Word. You need to be under the hearing of the Word. And I know that is so rudimentary, but what we know and what we practice sometimes are two different things. When the word of Christ dwells in us richly, we're talking about these blessings that we see in our text. First of all, I want to indicate to you that there will be sound teaching, wise instruction, appropriate admonishment. When you are in the word, You are being taught by God. You are being taught by Christ. And so verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. You will be rightly reproved, rightly rebuked, exhorted, and that's the negative side, but positively, then we will be able to impart truth. Negatively, we will be able to warn people of the consequences of wrong behavior. And friends, how needful that is to be able to do. Those of us that have children, those of us that have grandchildren, being in the Word enables you to impart wisdom to your children, wisdom to your grandchildren. What they hear in this world is not usually going to be truthful. As parents, as grandparents, our priority should be to teach our children, our grandchildren, the Word of God, what God's Word says. And in order to be able to do that, you yourself have to know the Word of God. And to know it, you've got to be in it. So first of all, the blessing of having the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. You are taught sound wisdom, sound teaching, and then able to give appropriate admonishment. Second, there is holy singing. And we see that also in verse 6. The word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Having God's word dwell in us richly produces not only information, but emotion. It calls for psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What are psalms? They're psalms. They're the Psalter. What are hymns? But expressions of praise to God. And how can we define spiritual songs? Well, they express in song what God has done for us. They give melody to our testimony. You get a church that is in the Word, and they will sing the Word. They will sing. You find a dead church, and I can promise you, there's a problem with those people being in the Word. When God's people are in the Word, it's expressed in song. You always should be singing hymns. Third, God's Word dwelling in us richly produces peace. We see that in verse 15. Paul tells us here, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. The Greek word for peace includes both the concept of a treaty and that of an attitude of rest or security. Objectively, believers are at peace with God, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The war between us and sinners and God is over. And when we put our faith in Christ, the treaty has been written, signed, and I love this, sealed with the blood of Christ. And therefore, subjectively, we can experience the peace of God, which means this divine peace then rules our hearts and umpires, and it guides our hearts in making decisions that bring to pass peace. You know, you can make decisions that bring to pass chaos, or you can make decisions that bring to pass the peace of God. And don't our hearts need an umpire calling out thoughts and worries and desires that steal our peace? So when divine peace rules, there is a rest and the peaceful security that we are walking in God's will. If you want God's peace, be in God's will. Being at peace with God in our circumstances then enables us to relationally, you have objectively, subjectively, and relationally, be at peace with those in the body of Christ. There's a unity, there's a harmony with others. That's why you always want to be in a church where the people are in the Word, where the people are being not only taught the Word, but they're in the Word. And that will bring to pass the peace of God in their hearts. And then fourth, God's word controlling us means we will be thankful. Gratitude will be our response to all God has done. I have four verses here. We could look up 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But I want us to see in our text here that all three of these verses, verse 15, 16, and 17, all speak of this thanksgiving. Verse 15, let the peace of God rule your hearts, into the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye what? Thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And you're saying, well, where is thanksgiving there? God's grace gives us reason to be thankful. It gives us a reason to have a song, a melody, and praise in our hearts to the Lord. And then verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Friends, when the riches of God's word are permeating your heart, you will always find a reason to be thankful. You will see the glass half full. It might not be as full as you want, but you will have a positive attitude, a thankful attitude toward life. That's why it's so important when you get up in the morning, and I know this is so rudimentary, but when you get up in the morning, have devotions. Have that God and I time. And that will go a long ways to help you be thankful throughout the day. And you know what happens? The Spirit of God points out reasons why you can be thankful. There's a blessing here. There's a blessing there. And it's such a blessing to be around a thankful person. Be a thankful, be a grateful person at home. When the riches of God's word are indwelling us, it affects our hearts. And again, there will be proper instruction. We will be able to impart God's wisdom, heartfelt singing, holy singing. There will be a peace in your heart. You will be controlled by the peace of God. There will be a thankfulness. And you will, and I will, fulfill what is said in verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. What is the point of this lesson? If we could just capsule it, if we could give you a bullet point. The written word of Christ indwelling you brings to pass the life of Christ. If you want to become like Jesus, let the word, the words of Christ dwell in you richly, which simply means we will act consistently with who Jesus is, what he desires for our living, whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, we'll do what? All to the glory of God. Romans 13, 14, put on the Lord Jesus and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on the Lord Jesus. Friends, let God's word dwell in you richly. Make the word of God a priority, and this spiritual priority will bring wonderful blessings to you, to your family, to your church family, and to this community. You will be like Christ.